Villains have always held a special place in our nation's history. For many history buffs and historical fiction readers, the lives of villains are as compelling as those of our American heroes. In best-selling author Jennifer Chiaverini's latest novel, Fates and Traitors, she embraces our curiosity for the anti-hero by presenting a fascinating three-dimensional portrait of one of America's most infamous villains, Lincoln's assassin, John Wilkes Booth. The name of the new novel is Fates and Traitors, a novel of John Wilkes Booth, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Jennifer Chiaverini to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. Very nice to have you on the program.
Oh, thank you very much.
What led you to want to write this, A, about John Wilkes Booth, and to write it as a novel?
Well, I've written other novels set during the Civil War era and during the antebellum period, and sometimes Abraham Lincoln has figured into them, either as a character or someone who has, of course, influenced the events that my characters experience. And so I've had quite a few opportunities to really reflect upon the assassination, but I never really focused the lens on the person responsible for it. So through the years, while writing other books, my curiosity about John Wilkes Booth has really grown. I think we all have this a basic, at least, understanding of him. We know he was an actor, and then sometimes we have a sense that he either committed this act either out of patriotism and loyalty to the Confederacy or in a burst of madness. It was just an act of insanity. But over the years, I've been thinking, well, there must be so much more to him than this. There must be something else behind this small glimpse that we have. So my curiosity has been so piqued that I finally decided that it was time to really delve into the research and just learn more about him and then tell his story.
The book is a blend of five interwoven narratives. There is Booth's perspective and those of four women who know him and in some cases love him. So give us a sense of those women and those narratives and why they were so important to the story you wanted to tell.
Well, I chose these four women because they were not only very important to him throughout his life, from childhood all the way up to the assassination and its aftermath, but they were also present with him in spirit or were with him in his thoughts during his final moments. We know this because of eyewitness accounts and certain things that he carried on his person. We know that his last words were for his mother, Marianne. When he was dying, he asked a number of different people, anyone who would come close enough to listen, to pass on certain messages to her. So we know that he was thinking of her. And those were his last spoken words. His last written testimony he had left with one of his elder sisters, Asia. And she didn't know that this was what she held, but a few months before, John Wilkes Booth had written a manifesto explaining what he was up to and what his intentions and reasons were, and he had given this document to her to hold for him in her safe. It was only afterward that she opened the envelope and discovered what it was that she held, so she was with him in that moment too. And then he carried with him a pocket calendar, a pocket diary. In it were the photos of several actresses that he had worked with throughout his career, and one very different image, that of Lucy Hale, the daughter of New Hampshire Senator John Hale, who was an abolitionist and a unionist. And depending upon which sources you consult, they either didn't know each other at all or they were secretly engaged. So you have to evaluate the source before you decide which story you're going to believe there. And then I think his thoughts must also have turned to Mary Surratt, one of his co-conspirators, who managed the boarding house in Washington, D.C., where John Wilkes Booth met with his co-conspirators, while the plot against Lincoln was being planned. So I thought that since they were present in his thoughts at that moment, it would be interesting to discover him through their eyes in all those years and months and moments leading up to that climactic moment.
Does history and the facts ever get in the way of a good story? when you're writing books like this?
Well, sometimes they can, and that is something that I have to be mindful of when I am creating a work of fiction. I do try to be true to the historical record to the extent that I can, but sometimes there are gaps in the historical record. Sometimes elements, documents, letters, or newspaper accounts contradict one another, and then I have to do this sifting and winnowing and evaluating one source against another before I can really try to conclude what actually did happen factually. But there are gaps in the historical record. We don't know, for example, what people's innermost thoughts were. We don't know all of the private conversations that might have gone on between a brother and a sister, between two lovers, that sort of thing. So that's where I really have to bring in the novelist's craft of imagination, that novelist tool, and keeping in mind what I know of the historical person, trying to be true to that as I'm imagining this life for the fictional character.
The background I found fascinating on John Wilkes Booth, and you write about this. Talk a little bit about his upbringing. He was not from the South.
No, he was not, which I think is something that most people assume, that he was from a Confederate Southern family. They were, well, the parents were originally from England. They were both Londoners and came to America so that Junius Brutus Booth, John Wilkes Booth's father, could perform and become one of the greatest actors on either side of the Atlantic. But they lived in Maryland. But Maryland stayed in the Union, as you know, but it had very strong Confederate elements. So even right there, there was already a strong conflict. There was this division within the household and within the family that John Wilkes Booth was a part of. But in his early childhood, it was quite a tumultuous life. He was one of 10 children, four of whom perished in childhood, which was not uncommon for that era. And he deeply, deeply admired his father and wanted to emulate him in many ways. But as much as he admired his father, this very accomplished actor, there were other issues, too. The parents were not married. Junius Brutus Booth, in fact, was married to someone else. Who had stayed back in England. So John Wilkes Booth, all his life, struggled with this idea of, was he really a true Booth? And he was mocked and endured a lot of shame and ridicule in his childhood because his parents weren't married. And this was something that he carried with him. This was a burden he carried with him. And then, too, his father, for all of his talent, he was a deeply flawed individual. He was an alcoholic. He was prone to fits of violence and erratic behavior, never really, or not so much targeted toward the family, but just to others. And so the whole family was engaged in this ongoing struggle to keep the father sober and sane long enough that he could perform and earn money so that the family didn't starve. And so even though there was a lot of love in this family, there was conflict and there was struggle and a lot of tension and stress as well. And I think all of this shaped John Wilkes Booth's identity and his fascination with honor for his family name and personal pride and achieving something for himself, trying to live up to his father's renown.
With that understanding, is there a concern, or did you have a concern, or was it a challenge that you, in writing the story, in some way become sympathetic for this character?
Well, I think we can sympathize with the boy John Wilkes Booth was, the difficult childhood he had, the struggles of growing up in the family that had this much uncertainty, and growing up with all of the struggles that he faced as a boy. And even as a young man, I think we can even admire him for certain things that he tried to deal with to try to help the family. There were parts of his life when the family was close to starvation, and John Wilkes would go without food himself so that his sisters and brothers and mother could have enough to eat. And I think we can certainly admire that. However, that was when he was a younger man. And when his politics start to divide and when he starts to take this more violent turn, when he starts to go against the family's values of abolition and liberty and starts to take this darker turn towards racism and classism that really dismayed the members of his families when he took this turn, I think that's where our sympathy really starts to fall off. And certainly by the time he committed the assassination, when it really had there's nothing politically to be gained from it, whatever side you feel today, whether you sympathize with the South or whether you sympathize with the Union, objectively, there was really nothing to gain at that point of murdering Abraham Lincoln aside from revenge and lashing out. So I think that while we can sympathize with the boy he was, you cannot justify the murder of President Lincoln. And I think part of it, too, that you have to keep in mind is that I was writing from the perspective of these women, these people who loved him. So you're not going to see my opinion of John Wilkes Booth.
Right.
Because then, of course, I would have all these very different opinions all simultaneously. In the novel, you see what his devoted sister felt about him. You see what his loving mother, who cherished her son, you see him through her eyes. You see him through the eyes of a woman who was deeply in love with him. And then you see him through the eyes of a comrade, his co-conspirator Mary Surratt, who staunchly believed, as he did, that the Confederacy must prevail. So you're not seeing my feelings about him. You're seeing how these fictional characters felt about him throughout different periods of his life.
Well, it is such a complicated life, and the story is told in the new novel Fates and Traitors, a novel of John Wilkes Booth that is published by Dutton. Jennifer Chiaverini, I thank you very much for joining us this morning. I wish you all the best of luck with the novel.
Oh, thank you so much.
A great pleasure. Thank you very much. Again, the title is Fates and Traitors. The book is published by Dutton. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.